This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. Miami Dolphins set to hit the road week one against the Colts. Head coach Mike McDaniel joins us this morning. Coach, good morning, man, and thanks for coming on. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing awesome. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Hey, by the way, let's get in the mission accomplished first part. Just going to practices and being around the team a little bit, the team culture. I thought the practices, coach, were a lot better. Did you feel that same way overall?
I did. I think that it was a high priority. So yes. All things team, I feel people are intentionally working towards the appropriate goal collectively. So fired up. This is a cool spot because, you know, the week one, you've put a ton of work in, you know, behind the scenes, so to speak, and really you're trying to put the finishing touches on something you've been building for months now. So, and it's right around the corner, and it's new for everyone. So it's always a fun time. But particularly this year is really exciting because people, play excited football. So far, we'll see what NFL Thursday has and how this practice looks.
So I got to ask you, because it always pops up, you named your six captains, by the way, all class acts and get it. I was kind of, and I think a lot of people are like, okay, how's Tyree going to take this? I think he probably knows he's not going to be a captain, but once it kicks in, and then yesterday he spoke to the media. I mean, coach, this guy, this is what I thought, man, he's all in on this. Did you have to talk to him after the captains were selected, explain and talk to him at all? Did you have a conversation with him?
Quite literally, I didn't even think to have a conversation with him. And I think that speaks to, you know, I anticipated his reaction because it was authentic and real. And I think the team, you know, maybe in years past, people had worries or maybe thoughts or opinions or were hoping, like this team was eager to hear who the collective elected and really just focus was on that. So I honestly did not think twice about it. The first time it came onto my radar was when I had a microphone in front of me at a podium.
Yeah.
And that was not at my house.
I figure you shut it down when you get home with the family. Yeah, there was no question there. Hey, some real... go ahead,
Katie's
Coach.
Listening right now.
Oh, listen. Orville's finest right there. Orville, California, right next to Marysville, California. And always enjoy talking to that beautiful wife.
Hey, yours, how much do you guys talk?
I see her a little bit. I've seen her. Yeah. I haven't seen her in Orville up there with I did meet the family and stuff, Katie's family. But I talked to her a little bit, but it's, you know, a lot of it has to do with your daughter and my grandson mostly. But yes.
Yeah, I'm getting jealous. You just don't talk to me much, so.
Yeah, right. Probably didn't really think you want to hear about what the old man has to say when she sees him. But hey, Coach, I do want to ask you about this. Pretty cool that this is the first time I've been doing this a long time. Five rookies will either start or be in the rotation in this opener. You had mentioned a few months ago that this could happen, but they all look legit. They all really have had good camps.
No, I think there's a lot of work there. I think that, you know, ultimately, big picture, you're trying to, be able to facilitate the acquisition and development of players. That's what it's all about. So, I think that has to do with a lot of things, first and foremost, the individuals. Those are, I could have a predictable feeling based on those unique individuals that have the appropriate skill set that it takes to not only, be very good and starter level type production, but you also have to be, tough-minded and know that, you're constantly getting corrected. And it's a very difficult thing for people to maintain confidence while getting corrected. But, these guys seem to have a very good understanding of the point of coaching and development and seizing opportunities. They're very... the veterans in the locker room and the leadership council and the captains, those guys really want to earn the respect. So I think it's a good collection of people working together and coaches highly invested in those people to do that.
Coach, our fans and media members, we all get our favorites as something goes on, especially with a young guy. This Ollie Gordon coming on from starting at the bottom and because of injury, working his way up and watching him run in preseason. I could hear those pads up in the radio booth, Coach. Has he impressed you? And do you see him getting some carries in this first game?
Well, what I like, my favorite thing that I saw from Ollie was it was very obvious to me that it was important for him to earn his respect from his teammates. And there were some times that, I think he pushed himself, to the credit of the locker room and, the players that we have on the team, where he pushed himself to earn respect. He had plenty of, growing moments during camp. But during the process, he kept coming to work with a spirit to get better. So watching him, be a rookie that, the guys regard and want to invest in themselves, I was very, very proud of that, to watch that, because that you have to walk before you can run. So for him to make plays on Sunday, he has to earn the respect and earn the trust of the teammates he's playing with, as he's one of 11. So, I think he needs to have a good day. The NFL work week and how you game plan. This is a new deal for all these guys. So, he's kind of going to have a little effect on how many opportunities he gets by the way that he addresses the game plan. And If he throws spirals, because we're going to have him working on a lot of throws.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, I got to ask you, too. We get a lot here on the radio, especially during preseason with the backup quarterbacks playing so much. Zach Wilson and Quinn Ewers, they go to practice. They see Quinn Ewers have great practices or Zach have a good practice. Has that competition in your eyes, and I know one guy's got a lot of experience and got a lot of starts with the Jets and a former second overall pick, but is that competition, was it ever close to you by the way Quinn Ewers was throwing and getting more comfortable? It's always been clear cut that Zach's the second guy.
Well, I think there can be a couple things at play. I think we drafted Quinn because we believe in him. And we signed Zach because we believe in him. And I think, every roster spot is sacred in the National Football League. They're finite. Every player's competing not only with their position, but other positions on the team. That being said, the best player, is going to play. That's what we're in the business of. And, I bring up and focus and feature competitions when they're competitions, and there's a process to get to the point of, it's one thing to play football in a preseason road stadium in the second half with no crowd noise. It's another thing to be a quarterback of a team handling a game plan, doing all the things that it takes to lead a unit and a team. And so again, we drafted Quinn for a reason. Those things are always being measured. And, when it's a competition, it's a competition, and we'll always play the best player. But you have to walk before you run as a rookie, specifically as a quarterback. I think I'm very happy with both their development within the offense. And I think they made us better. And that was our objective really the whole offseason.
Hey, Coach, and thanks again for spending some time with us. I know you got a lot of stuff going on. Just a couple more here. In 22 and 23, so many explosive plays. My God, it was so fun. It felt like it was about two or three a half of Waddle and Tyreek Hill down the field, deep crossing routes, you name it, corner routes, takeoffs, just great calls, one-on-ones, and did it. And last year, because of a lot of different things, it didn't go as well. How do you get that back? How would you tell all of us, hey, we want to get back to that and use those two guys on the outside and get the most out of what they do best?
Well, I would say that if you really want to improve and as we obviously do, you have to put forth the work each and every day relentlessly. In the off season to build a team and to be able to be your best selves, you have to work within cohesion of, you're one of 11 moving at once. So I think it's diligent work day in, day out. And so was very clear from the onset of the off season program what it would look like to try to change outcomes, across the board, your statistical and win-loss, they play a part and aren't mutually exclusive. So that has been the theme, and that's where, I'm confident in our team. It lies in quite literally the most mundane, boring soundbite you ever heard. daily work and without relent. And so you watch people and you coach them and you see their games evolve, and that's how you get better outcomes, more explosives, more points, all of that comes through guys working cohesion really expressing their talent through skills that are tied to other players so that they can be productive.
You know, having Austin Jackson back, this can be the first time the starting five's been together. Two new guards, but the upside, everybody seems really excited about this starting five that you have for the run game, as well as your pass protection, obviously. You feel better about potentially the things you can do in your running game inside and outside?
We've had a strong focus both in asset acquisition and firm coaching on both sides of the ball, both lines. So that was a major point of the off season in terms of identifying and recognizing ways we could get better, and we felt like we had the opportunities and were able to get the appropriate players and have the appropriate coaches. So I'm expecting the line of scrimmage play work into a strength, which is a process that goes on each and every day as we try to run block and run defend, pass protect and pass rush against the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday on a Thursday.
Yeah, I got you. Hey, last one for you, Coach, and I'll let you go. This Darren Waller one is, I haven't seen anything like it. I mean, he was retired. He didn't do a lot in camp. How hard has it been, the timing? I know you're working him along slowly to get him ready and get him through this football season. Have you ever had a situation like this before as an assistant coach or a head coach for a guy that in his prime has been so talented?
I mean, I think each opportunity is unique to itself. This one's for sure unique. And, you know, I see Darren as an asset added, and I don't, I guess I'm not, I'm looking at everything that he brings and what he brings to the team. And, you know, there's, an entire process of a team to develop, and these things take time. But I've never been worried about it because, we have a football team that's operating day in, day out. That has 68 other players, and I know he's really doing everything. Really, the whole, both Darren and the coaching staff and everybody involved is doing everything to get him ready to produce on Sundays. That's the whole point. So I'm just fired up for the work that has been done and the work that I see in the future. And, you know, I have a little more long vision patience, especially when I get the gift of a guy coming out of retirement to come play with us.
Yeah. No, listen, hey, you hit a lot of stuff and I really appreciate it. I could tell by practices and everything else, I felt a real urgency with this group of guys and by your leaders of the team and your practices. I'm guessing you felt really good about everything. So, hey, I really appreciate you coming on, Coach. I know you got a lot of stuff going on, and we'll see you in a couple of days. Thank you.
Are you kidding me? It's my pleasure. Okay. All you know, right. There's a lot of people sitting at home wishing they were sitting wherever I'm sitting, talking to you right now.
Mike, thank you, man. I appreciate it. You take care of yourself. Have a good one.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You Must Remember This is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Thank you, Woody. Kyle Krabs, Locked On Dolphins podcast and NFL analyst for A to Z Sports, joins us. Good morning, Kyle. How you doing, man? It's finally here after all the yap about putting this 53-man roster together, and we like this and we don't like that. Now we get to see it on Sunday.
Yeah, just go out and play. You know, what's the worst that could happen? I'm glad we're here.
Yeah, hey, speaking of that, before we get into the team a little bit, so this Tyreek thing's been a story, and he was not named a captain, and now everybody's a little concerned about how Tyreek is going to feel about it. I don't think Tyreek's worried. I'm sure he probably knew this was coming. Maybe it's a little bit of a sting there, but my thought is he's more concerned with this showing everybody that he's going to have a big year. I think his total focus right now is getting back to the Tyreek Hill of a couple years ago. Don't you? He's pretty motivated by that.
I think August 31st, he had the deadline pass for his fully guaranteed option bonus for 2025, which is nearly $16 million. After that, he has $10 million in salary this year, and that's it for guarantees on his contract. And for a guy who's coming off a down year, who's now into his 30s is not usually kind to wide receivers. I don't think the Dolphins are going to be eager to pay him $36 million, which is what he's scheduled for next year. So whether that's an adjustment contract or a trade in the offseason or a trade at the deadline if they start slow or if he's released, however the season plays out, every player, and you saw this in 24 with players that had multiple years left on their contracts but no more guarantees, he's got a lot bigger thing to motivate him than not being named a captain. And it's after this year, he has no guaranteed money left on his contract.
Yeah.
So I have to imagine that is a much greater motivator for Tyreek to keep himself the best version of himself in all ways on and off the field until he finds whatever contract opportunities with Miami or elsewhere after the season that's going to give him more guarantees.
If Tua stays healthy, 1,500 yards over or under on a Tyreek Hill season.
I'd probably take under, but it would not be because I think Tyreek doesn't have the juice to be that kind of explosive player. I think just between the investments that they made with the offensive line to be a little bit more balanced with their offense, Jaylen Waddle, I think being the first primary receiver throughout the entire offseason program and the vast majority of training camp because Tyreek had this oblique thing, I just think Waddle's going to be in a position to maybe balance those skills or potentially take the majority workload based off of what the offseason program looked like for him. And I think Malik Washington's got great chemistry with Tua as well. And I don't think that he's going to just be like an afterthought in the passing game. So I think the 180 targets for Tyreek and the race for 2K and all that, like, I think those days have kind of passed. And as a result, I think they'll be a little bit more balanced with their target share.
Yeah. And by the way, I mentioned this earlier. I think everybody's talking about, hey, what do you think needs to happen? I go, Mike McDaniel, Smith, Bevel, and Slowik all have some form of coordinator, or McDaniel's a head coach. They need to be spending a lot of time figuring out how to get those two guys on the outside the football down the field, right? They need to figure out some things to work around too deep, to get that too deep taken care of so we're not talking about it.
Well, and I really don't think it's hard, Joe. They've talked about it. It's you got to have a presence to run the ball, and if teams want to sit in too high, you got to make them pay for it by punishing low box counts and force them to bring the extra hat in the box. That's all it is. So that's really why I think you asked why it didn't get better from the start of the year to the end of the year last year. They didn't have the presence on the interior offensive line. It bit them in the rear end, and it really handcuffed what they could do as far as running the ball. And teams were content to say, hey, we're going to sit back, and if you want to get those guys the ball underneath in space, everybody's going to take good angles and we're going to tackle. And that's it. So you structurally, how you call a game has to change to change the defensive structure. It's that old adage, and I know the new analytics and EPA and play action, whether you establish the run or not, there's all kinds of different schools of thought on that. You're going to run the damn ball. Like, excuse my language, but that's if teams are going to sit here and play too high shell on you all the time, and they're going to cloud the corners and play two-man, or they're going to play press coverage on the outside and shade safeties over the top, you got to gouge teams between tackles. You got to be able to do it. And I think they made some changes to put it on the menu, but now you got to go actually go out and do it if that's how teams are going
to
play.
That's why I think the most important thing I started the show this morning with, you know, this offensive line, this first time this five has been together. Now that Austin Jackson's coming back and you got three new starters with Patrick Paul taking over full time and Jonah taking over at left guard and James Daniels at right guard, how quickly can they come together now as five, and how good can they be right off the bat, as you said, run blocking as well as their pass protection?
Yeah, and I think I've got a lot of optimism for that group. I think the skill sets, now I think Jonah had an up and down preseason. I think you could tell he was a rookie. It's how quickly he adjusts and grows and avoids making the same mistakes twice. But I think his best reps in the preseason, I think the vast majority of them came in the run game. So I think that's all that much more reason to kind of have that appetite to attack that in early downs and make sure you stay out of long and lates where you could have teams teeing off on you with pressure packs.
We know Achan's going to start. I don't think they want to overuse him, though, here in week one. I expect to see. How much of Ollie Gordon do you expect to see?
I think you're getting a pretty hefty dose. Now, some of that's Achan. Some of that is kind of the Mike McDaniel used the phrase throughout the offseason, the tonality of the football team, right? And Ollie, he brought the juice
in
the preseason. And I think he led all rookie runners with yards after contact. I think he's got a lot of confidence that he's running with right now. And I think he mitigates when he does make mistakes. I think he mitigates it because he's so eager to get north and south. Whereas you think about Jalen Wright, his rookie season, and you're running the wide zone, outside zone, and you're pressing the outside, and you got to make a read and you got to make a judgment on if we've got the edge or not. And I thought Jalen too often last year took those runs to the sideline and it got strung out and then you didn't get yards. Where in the instances where I think in the preseason, Ollie has maybe misread or not anticipated how the block was going to develop or how the second level player was going to fit, he's still getting north and he's still getting 2-3 yards out of those runs. And I think that's not a small deal when the difference is 2nd and 11 versus 2nd and 7.
We've been talking this morning about all the power rankings and I was watching your podcast, breaking some of the stuff down, coaching, roster, and schedule that you're playing. Also a big part of this that nobody's really talking about. And I totally agree with you. Everybody keeps, you know, if you're down on the team, you're oh, they're going to win 5 or 6 games. I go, no, they're going to win. And people are like, well, what do you mean? How are they going to win more? I mean, I go, well, they got Colts. They got Cleveland, they got Saints, they got Patriots twice, Jets twice, Panthers and Falcons. Hell, they might be favored in almost every one of those games, except this first one.
Yeah, I think for the betting lines purposes, it gets a little muddy because you're in Carolina, you're in Atlanta. There's been some of the books have some movement that's swinging Miami's way here in week one. But I think that's part of it is – you play who's on the schedule, and I know everybody's going to be eager for the first time they play the Bills or when they play the Ravens on Thursday night or that late season stretch with Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Tampa Bay. Like, those are the games that I think are going to tell you a lot about who this team is this year versus what the past iterations of the team have been. But you look at the schedule and you say, hey, if I'm just being intellectually honest about where these teams are at with rebuilds or teardowns or stuck in neutral, there's no reason why Miami, with continuity on both sides of the ball and a lot of core pieces, and we feel like they upgraded and addressed some of their biggest weaknesses, there's no reason why, if they don't play to their potential, they're going to win and easily clear the 5-6 games that everybody who's super low on this team. Mike Florio had the Dolphins ranked 28th.
I couldn't believe. I know he's really down on the dysfunction of the team. I saw that too, and I was like, come on, Mike. Like, all of a sudden, all these bad teams you have ahead of them. Come on. Yeah. I'm with you on that. That was a little bit of a surprise. So what did you have them last night? Just tell everybody what you're thinking after breaking all this down.
Yeah, I made the qualifier when I did the schedule prediction on my show last night. It's the assumption that you're going to get a full slate of Tua Tagovailoa, right? Because that's that happened in 23, so it's not impossible. And for every four games, the math says, for every four games the Tua misses, the Dolphins lose 3 out of 4. So if I'm projecting a 17-game slate with Tua Tagovailoa, I went through the schedule and I tried to, you know, look at rest advantages, roster matchups based off what everybody has right now, coaching matchups. I had the Dolphins at 10 wins. And there were a couple that I was like, hey, these are coin tosses. I tried not to give them all the benefit of the doubt and none of the benefit of the doubt. So I kind of took those down the middle as far as the Chargers coming to Miami versus the Washington game internationally versus Cincinnati and Pittsburgh as two games later in the year, one at home, one in the way. Like, I tried to take those down the middle for law of averages sake, and I got 10. And I would not be surprised if that's where they end up sitting. And hopefully we don't need to see Zach Wilson play, because if that's the case, then I feel even better with who's on the schedule that's where you can get.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think a lot of people listening right now would take 10-7, take it right now. And let's go. I'm with you, but hey, I talked about this beginning of year. Nobody wanted to hear about it, but you're playing Cleveland. Hey, everybody's got good players. There's no question about it, but obviously these teams lost a lot of games when you look at them. Cleveland, Saints, Patriots twice, Jets twice. I don't know how good they are at the quarterback position yet. Panthers and the Falcons. Yeah, so
That's half the schedule right there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you start, well, four in just the AFC East alone, but you're right. That's a lot of their schedule, and that gets you in a wild card. Hell, it may not even you may not be the last wild card. That probably moves you up a slot. But hey, listen, there's still a bigger picture out there down the road. But boy, I'll tell you what, there'd be a lot of people right now over at that stadium that would love to see a 10-7 and go, man, we hope that Kyle Crabbs dude is on the money there. Hey, secondary, real quickly here. How do you feel about what it looks like it's going to be with Jones and Douglas and Marshall and Storm Duck? What are your thoughts on those four most likely playing in this game?
Yeah, and it is not lost on me that we might have Ashton Davis at safety for this game too, just because he, Mike McDaniel said there was three names that didn't practice on Monday. Ashton Davis wasn't amongst them. He was back on the field last week doing work. So if he's going to end up trending back, the Dolphins put out the depth chart yesterday. They had Ashton Davis listed as a starter,
yeah,
at safety opposite Minkah Fitzpatrick. So I think that for me is the really interesting domino piece, where they've been experimenting with Jason Marshall. But if they go with Big Nickel, if they go with three safeties, and now Ife Melifonwu, who was a college corner, can get some opportunities in some passing situations or potentially on early downs because he's a safety. Maybe you want him up in the D gap to fit the run. It gives you another option. I think you can do some mismatch stuff, especially against a team like the Colts that has Tyler Warren, their first round pick at tight end, who's a phenomenal player. So I think Rasul Douglas is signing. I don't know how much we're going to see of him this week, But I think for the big picture of the 17-game schedule, I think he's a great floor raiser for the room. Where Jack Jones, there's some feast or famine that exists there. They've obviously got the youth and the young guys that they're betting on, those guys taking steps and developing, and some of them will and some of them won't, right? That's just, that's how player development works in the NFL. It's not all linear for all players all the time. But I think the Douglas signing throughout the grand scheme of this season is a great floor raiser. And man, it really bums me out that we're not going to see Kader Kohou, because if you told me you had Jack Jones, Rasul Douglas, Kader Kohou, Jason Marshall, and Kohou was a piece of this mix, I feel pretty darn good relative to what the expectations were about the corner room in April when we found out we were trading Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
So I think it has the ability to be a sufficient piece if the front seven is as advertised.
Well, I got to tell you, on the other side, I haven't even been talking about this. I know we got to run here in a second here. Defensively, that front seven, not allowing Taylor, who, by the way, can get rolling pretty good and has been one of the better running backs in the game for a while. But they shut him down, and they can tee off. I am really looking forward to seeing what Coach Weaver has in mind. As you said, could be three safeties playing at the same time, the blitz packages, and those four guys on the outside, the four veterans.
Yeah, especially, you know, the first couple weeks here, you got your first 2 weeks, you got Daniel Jones as a starter in Indianapolis, and then you got Drake May in week two on the road playing in a new system, right? Like it now has Josh McDaniels and that Earhart Perkins system, which is it's a lot of volume of information that he's now responsible for. And it's only his second week getting implemented in a real game setting against a defense that's game planned for him. So I think the first couple of weeks, you have the opportunity to really get rolling and showcase and really flex what you feel that strength of your defense is.
Kyle, thank you, man. I appreciate you spending some time there. 10 wins, 10 and 7. Boy, I'll tell you, what was the reaction on the podcast, 10 and 7?
You know how it is. I about half the people tell me I was too high and the other half told me I was too low. So I must have done something right.
There you went, right down the middle. Just like a field goal kicker. Thanks, Kyle. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, Kyle Krabs, Locked On Dolphins podcast, NFL analyst for A to Z Sports. All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody. Hopefully you're all out of the traffic. Woody, you're back. You're good. You got out of that mess today. You're ready to go, and so are we here. We've got a lot of stuff to get to. I want to get over to the Dolphins here. I know this Tyreek thing is still a topic, and a lot of people followed up with, you know, what's going to happen next with Tyreek and, you know, not being a captain. And listen, I think Tyreek is on a huge mission right now that has nothing to do with meeting with a bunch of other guys and the coach every week. I'm not taking anything away from the captain position. I'm sure it's a little embarrassing he's done this to himself, and I'm sure now he realizes the guys on his team that were here last year mostly, because the young guys don't know a lot except what they've heard. But the guys that are back from last year, and he's going, okay, probably some guys in my own receiver room. My own receiver room even said, nah, you're not one of our top guys. You're not to meet with the coach and be a captain. I think Tyreek is so past that and is on this huge mission to have a big season. The big season is what keeps the salary up. I think he's on a mission. He's embarrassed about not even getting to 1,000 yards last year. I expect he's going to have, and he knows they need him. He needs them to get it going. I don't know what the relationship with he and Tua. I don't know if they're hanging out. I don't know. Tua's kind of a private guy. I don't know what he does. You know, I don't know if he invites people over. I don't think Tyreek's worried about that. Listen, man, a lot of people were different. As long as we play well, we don't have to hang out and go to dinner and go play golf together or anything else, to take our kids and go hang out at a park. We don't need to do that stuff. That doesn't need it. This man wants to show everybody he's one of the best players still, and his numbers did not show that last year. He's fighting right now. He's in a big fight with Father Time, at 31. I just think that's it. He knows the team. I'm guessing they've said, hey, man, that he, if he doesn't realize how much we need him, I do. He's still on here after everything that's happened. And so I expect him to have a big year. I do. I expect, and by the way, I wanted to get right into this stuff about the team and where they stand a few days away from their first game against the Colts on the road. Daniel Jones and a very winnable game for this Dolphins team. Great first game matchup around the board that you feel, I feel really good about for this team in this game. Because the Colts have got their own issues right now. Hell, they got drama quarterback. They got the backup quarterback now. His agent saying, my guy had a great camp. Why isn't he starting? We're going to have to look into this. Really? Ain't nothing. Look, go work on another client. You apparently aren't getting the truth. So, how will the new offensive line play? That's number one for me. We got three new starters on the offensive line. Patrick Paul, I think, is just a matter of time, and he's going to be in that elite club. I think it's going to happen fast for him, but he takes over. He's still, for the first time in his life, going to be the starting left tackle for the Miami Dolphins in year two. Jonah Savainaya is starting left guard and going to make some mistakes. He is. He's going to make some mistakes. He's going to block the wrong guy. He's going to have bad technique. The veterans are going to work on him a little bit. They're going to pull all the tricks on him and everything else. But down the road, he's going to be one of those guys, ends up being that big old body. And that guy's got some meanness to him. He's going to be real good. James Daniels, the right guard. Got brand new guards. Two big guards. And big Patrick Paul out at left tackle to go with Brewer and Jackson. How will the new O-line play and look right off the bat? How will they play? That's one of the, that's my number one. That's more than a cornerback position. And that does get into the second group. Jack Jones, Storm Duck, Rasul Douglas, and Jason Marshall most likely will be the four guys that line up with the safeties. And I don't know, they'll play two and three safety sets back there, and Coach Weaver will do some different things. How will they play? I don't think he's going to put them in any real bad situations, but I like our matchups. This receiving core for the Colts is good. Not great, but it's good. It's got guys that make plays. And so I want to see. We got to make some plays in secondary. You can cover guys up. You can do different things. You can get a great pass rush, but you're not getting a great pass rush every – if we sit here and think that that front four of rotating guys that we like, Chubb, Phillips, Judon, and Chop, they're all really good, and I think they're going to put up as a group really good numbers. I do. But they're not going to get there every time they pass rush. And so you're going to have to cover a little bit. And do we make some plays on the ball with that group? When a guy does catch it, are you at least in good position and not getting roasted? That'd be the other one. And obviously, can't have any mental mistakes at this point. They just can't happen in the NFL. And then the third part. This falls back on the coaching staff, the offensive coaching staff, McDaniel, Smith, Bevel, and Slowick. All working together. We've added more guys with coordinator background. We got a ton of guys. And their job is to figure out, a little different than the run game. I'm not taking anything away from the run game. Yes, it's important. We got to have a better one than last year. We got to be better on short yardage and goal line. Yes. We got to figure a way how to get the two guys you're paying close to $60 million to on the outside. Waddle and Tyreek Hill. It's their job to figure out, besides bubble screens on the outside, get the ball out quickly and block, and we ran a ton of those last year, and their numbers showed that we ran a lot of them because the numbers are way down. Everything, yards per catch, catches, everything. We got to figure out how to get the ball down the field. And by the way, that doesn't mean, and I know that those two words I hate, too deep. I hate them. Hate hearing them. We've abused them over the last year. Our coaching staff's abused them. No more. There's ways to work around it. Everybody else is doing it. Slants, deep crossing routes. Probably a better running game helps. But there's ways. There's holes. Too deep, over the top of a corner before a safety can come over. Tool looks things off. He's really good at it. But they got to find ways to get those guys off to a good start. This thing is set up for a track meet. And we need Achan, Hill, and Waddle to be the story when this game's over. With some splash plays down the field. Some 20-plus yard plays down the field. Not like last year, but the 2 years before. This falls directly on those four guys. McDaniel, Smith, Bevel, and Slowick. Outside of Mike, who's the head coach and calls the plays, the other three all have some form of coordinator in their new title. And they need to figure out how to get this thing. Slowick seen it as a coordinator in Houston. Our guys have seen it. What didn't work last year? It's their job to figure out how we can get this thing figured out so that we can get those guys a ball. We just can't go, well, they figured us out. We couldn't throw anything down the field. We're able to throw a couple of short crossing routes. No, we have to get the ball down the field. That doesn't mean takeoffs. If they're not there, you don't force a takeoff. You don't throw into a safety. I'm not saying, you know, start doing dumb things. But there's just ways on timing routes to get the ball. There's holes all over this Colts defense for us to have some success. That's all. Anyway, that's just some of the things for me. Those were the three. And we're going to talk to Kyle Krabs, who really broke it down, everything from coaching staff to roster, every team in the NFL, did some really interesting stuff, and also looked at the schedule. And so we'll talk to him. All the power rankings are out for a lot of the teams, and I see Florio and Pete Prisco were not very nice to the Miami Dolphins. Darn those guys, man. Just didn't see a lot of love in this team.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Good morning to everybody. Happy Thursday out there. Hopefully you don't have any traffic like we had on the Golden Glades yesterday that had a lot of people screaming and yelling out there and a little bit late for work. And so hopefully everybody's back to normal today on the roads here. As we continue on, man, one day closer. And now the night of National Football League starts back up, man, with Dallas Cowboys, who bring all the fans, and the Eagles, who bring the best team, the champions of last year's Super Bowl. So should be a lot of fun. Should be a lot of fun to watch. And tomorrow, I expect that game, by the way, with the Chiefs and Chargers to be a close game. I do. I don't know who will win. I'm not going against Patrick Mahomes in any close games after he won like 10 of them last year. Seemed like every one of their games had some craziness at the end of the game that allowed them to win. But hey, man, good teams find a way to win even when they don't play their best, right? Isn't that the old saying that the good ones need? I'm with everybody else on this Dolphins game. Not everybody, but Tua versus Daniel Jones. That's one. You look at that secondary, that defense last year, I believe, was 29th in the NFL. You've got to get after it. You have to that should be a big passing game, a good all-around game, get some run game going a little bit as well. They struggle with that and feel good about yourself. Get that first win of the season, come home, get ready to play the Patriots, and off and running. Now, how do you do against the Bills? How do you do later on against the Ravens? We'll see. I know it hadn't been great for this team. But I will tell you, and I was glad to hear yesterday Kyle Krabs talking about this. Look at, man, their schedule is part of this story. Their schedule that they have is part of the story. And that schedule has a lot of games on it that you have to win. Cleveland, have to win. Saints, have to win. Panthers, have to win. Falcons, got to beat the Falcons. These are all teams, by the way, that were really bad. And the Patriots are coming to town. I know they had a lot of money. They got a lot of new guys, a lot of free agents, big-name free agents. You got to take care of the Patriots at home. We'll start with that. And then a couple weeks later, you got the Jets at home. You got to take care of that one too. But, you know, so what do you say? The Colts going to be the worst team on their schedule. And I'm like, oh.
Well, this will be definitely one of them. I think they're going to, so they're at 7.5 wins like us. And I do think they will go under that.
Okay, but you so said there.
You put like
no, a, no. But you started
okay,
with you're
I don't
the
know
worst
where you
team.
Put a 5 or 6 win team. I mean, right, give or take, they'll be one of the worst.
You have a schedule that if you play your best.
So it depends. Like, how bad do you think the Jets are going to be? Like, it depends. Like, you know, teams like that. Like,
I don't know. Let me ask you, how much you trust that quarterback?
Not much. Not much. I don't think the Jets are going to be great. I think they'll be, you know, it'll be tough, right? Those divisional games usually are.
No, always. Bad Patriots, by the way, Patriots were tough last year.
The Patriots are the big mystery, right? Because everyone thinks, the national media, I guess, thinks the Patriots are going to be, you know, like Super Bowl contenders. Like,
yeah.
The darlings
but
of the
all the national stuff and, you know. And,
I know.
And the paper teams. And we've been the paper teams before.
Well, they all think the Dolphins are going to be one of the worst teams in football.
They do.
We have the Dolphins down there in like the late 20s and all those power rankings.
We have a few guys that come on this radio show that been coming on for a long time that don't think that the team's going to be very good. So, and don't like the way the thing, you know, what it looks like and the things that happen with the trade before the season started. So, but now all that stuff, whether you believe, you don't believe, you think it's a 5-win team? I don't think it's a 5-win team. Yesterday, Kyle Krabs had 10 wins.
Be nice. 10. The problem, though, with 10 is like, what is that? Does that get you in the playoffs? Maybe.
Yes.
Oh, maybe.
10 gets you a wild card.
Okay. So let's say you get the wild
9 card. 9 sometimes gets you a wild card, but not always.
So you get it. So you get into the playoffs as a wild card. You know,
yes.
Is that
No, because you got to go back.
Then again, because you gotta go now play, you got one all these of those fans that are going to be like, well, we're just, you know, this is all we are, and we're going to bring everyone back, and people get riled up with that. So
this team needs to find a way. And listen, the Buffalo Bills, they got same cast of characters back. Would they win 13, 14 games last year? We play them early in the year on a Thursday night football game. That's coming up before you know it, right? Same week.
You should be able to be the second best team in this division, hopefully. I mean, that's the goal, right?
That would be the goal. Yes. That you got to get that two spot. But anyway, hey man, there's a lot of games, and if they don't play well, and by the way, this is all with Tua in the lineup. We should start with that. This is with Tua. All this is with Tua. You have to go with Zach Wilson, who's got a lot of starts. It's just going to be a drop off, and the things you want to do with this team, it's just. Well, you see where Zach's coming from. You see where this thing is built for Tua and what Tua does best and how he gets his guys the ball. And some of the things Tua does, Zach just doesn't do. He just, those slants and throwing it as those guys are coming out of their break. He's even said, it's weird for me to throw a ball and I see a safety behind my receiver and I'm throwing right at that safety. Tua does it. He looks it off, comes back, and hits those skinny posts and slant routes and crossing routes between linebackers and corners. And so this is all with Tua for the success. All bets are off once again for me personally if we got to go to a backup quarterback.
Well, it's more than all bets off. They have to go back up. It's probably going to get ugly. And then you go, I mean, big picture would be even uglier, right?
Well, we had the double ugly because guy was bad and got injured.
Yeah.
Only did he play poorly against Seattle, he got knocked out of the frigging game. What, did he break his ribs?
Yeah. But to me, it's more about the big picture. Like if he goes down again, then, you know, then you guys start looking big picture here. But someone said, wow, guys, I have no skin in the game. You guys are way off. Dolphins have a hard time going 4-13. That comes from the 5-6-1. Another 5-6-1 says ChatGPT says 10 wins. We're good to go.
I don't see how somebody has this team.
No, they're not gonna go
win them 4-13. No. By the way, that's kind of what Mike Florio is saying.
The only way that happens if Tua gets hurt in the opener or something.
Now
if they lose the opener.
What?
There's definitely a chance the wheels come off.
After one game?
Yeah, I think this is a big game. This is a big game because, again, I don't know how the records are going to shake out. I don't know which is going to end up being the worst team.
They can't even play a home game.
Can we all just at least agree that the Colts are not one of the better teams on your schedule? Can we all agree on that at least? I don't know. They don't have to be the worst, but they're certainly not one of the best.
No, I agree. But that's not what you started with.
Fine.
Then take back what you said. Well, because you said they're the worst team on the schedule.
I think they're going to win 5 or 6 games, Joe.
Okay, so you went right back to it. You just don't want to see. You can't say
their win total.
What?
Why is that so outrageous? I think they're going to go under their win total. And anyone who thinks the Dolphins are going to go under their win total, they're at the same as the Colts. Has them as, you know.
All right.
5 or 6 wins is bad.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, pretty.
Thank
bad.
You for telling me that.
No, you're welcome.
Thanks for the worst team in football. The Colts are. Daniel Jones is bad. Boy, that's.
Well, at least he won the job.
I don't know how much competition he had. Honestly,
our first John Gruden text in the morning.
But... John Gruden, got to get John Gruden. That guy now that you bring it up, he will. You said John Gruden text coming in. We're going to get John Gruden all the time. Do me a favor. You guys just tell each other that John Gruden came in.
You don't want me to announce it?
No, you don't have to. You just do it. That's your thing.
That, you know, just got back on the field. I think there's a group of guys that are very talented and well-versed and own the system that they're operating in. And I think that they have confidence going into week 1. Through the best way to have real confidence, which is through work. And I think that we have a lot of, there's a lot of guys that stand to have the ability to put themselves in position to redefine who they are as players based upon, you know, they've had a tremendous offseason.
All right, that was Mike McDaniel talking about his offensive line. Listen, this first time the starting five's played together. First time. I don't mean practice, but I'm talking about the highest level going 100 miles an hour on the road, very loud place indoors where the Colts play. And these five guys will play because Austin Jackson's coming back. And we're glad he's back to play together. This group plays together. The second part is, and it's been really hard, so it's fair. Can our starting five stay healthy? I can't remember last time I saw a starting five for the Miami Dolphins stay healthy for most of a season, where you're just down maybe one guy. I guess every team probably goes down one or two at some point. It just seems like going back in the history, our team has just lost a lot of offensive linemen, a lot. A lot of guys get hurt playing, you know, third center one year. Had the third center playing. First two guys were hurt. We've been through a lot of tackles on the outside. And then, you know, the guard position is just had a lot of injuries. Guys rolled up on and, you know, different ways guys get injured during a game. So hopefully that goes well. But, yeah, this will be the first time the starting five with Austin Jackson coming back. Been out a long time. Coming back, and we'll see how he looks at right tackle. And we got two brand new guards, a rookie and our highest paid free agent. And we'll see how it all plays out. Of course, Patrick Paul, I think everybody's really excited to see the big man out there at left tackle and see how he plays and gets more experience. Hey, listen, they're going to make some mistakes now. I don't want to make it sound like all of a sudden they're going to show up and look like the Eagles offensive line. They're not. But they're going to get better. They're big guys, confident guys, and we'll see. But they got to stay healthy too. That would be the second part of this thing. So anyway, back to work today. Leaving in a couple of days, and then we will get a good idea what this thing looks like. Besides all that, and everything else. Listen, this thing always starts with one topic. And we don't know. A lot of you don't think it's going to happen. Tua stays healthy for 17 games. I don't want to find out if Zach Wilson can play or not. And then I had somebody yesterday, went to get all set up. See, Kimbo Camper's got me all motivated and working on getting that colonoscopy done. And a guy waits for me outside. I left, and I could tell he wanted to talk. You know, you walk out of the office, and there's that one guy. It's all guys my age and women. But the one guy goes, hey, man, big fan of Dolphins. I go, oh, here we go. But I didn't know where he was going to go first. And he hit me with, I don't know about Zach Wilson. And I said, well, sir, I don't either, number one. And number two, let's hope we don't have to find out about Zach Wilson and Tua play 17 games. That would be nice. And then, of course, I opened up another can of worms. Well, do you think that's going to happen? Well, I can't, you know, I know what you're thinking. History is not once in his career he's been able to do it. Happened to be a good year to get it done because he got a new contract, big one. And he goes, well, and he wanted to talk about Quinn Ewers, who he that's where he really wanted to get to, is somehow Quinn Ewers going to move up. And all I wanted to say, look at, I think Quinn Ewers got a chance, man. He's got a chance. But I don't want to find out this year if Quinn Ewers, as the number three quarterback, is going to get up there and have to start. I don't. Maybe in time. I'm guessing at some point he will get, just like a guy that we had taken in the seventh round, Skylar Thompson, at some point will get a chance to get some starts in this league. But not right now. Not right now. Let's see what Tua can do. So this whole thing will be interesting. We're going to find out together, folks. We will find out together what it's going to look like. The running game yesterday, we talked to Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel, and Perk was screaming about the running game. He's right. We need to get more of a running game than we had last year. It's got to be a lot better. Yes. Question is, where do you run? And his thing is, we got to run inside. We got to be able to run between the tackles. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a waste. Teams know you're not going to do it. Then, you know, they're waiting. But Mike's been really good running the ball outside. He's got a formula that's been really good. We didn't use it enough last year, so we didn't have as much success. But a couple years ago, we ran for over 130 yards a game. That's good. That's a good number with everything else you're doing. And so probably a combination of both. But I do believe you do need to run between the tackles on the short yardage and goal line thing just to give it up and, you know, give up the ball and not just throw passes all the time and try trick plays and misdirection plays. Just sometimes just line up and get after it. Ollie Gordon is 225 pounds, man. And the way he ran in the preseason and because of injury to two other veteran running backs that won't be in this game, Ollie Gordon's going to get some playing time. He will get some playing time along with Achan, who will play a lot. But I don't think we want to kill the guy, play every snap.
Well, what's the split going to look like?
I don't know. You're asking me. I have no
for the people idea. That are interested in those sorts of numbers.
Well, look at
you're going to get he'd get the goal line stuff. I would assume, right?
I would think he would get. I want him. Look at nothing against Achan, but you know Tyreek might have been onto something. It wasn't for him to say, but yeah, I'd rather see a 225 pound back who runs hard like this guy compared to a 190 pound back who can do a lot of things. Can run inside, run outside, really good. Turn himself into, hey, you turn yourself into a 1,500 yard guy. I want him to get, you know, I want him to be our pass receiving running back, which he will be, and get him isolated one-on-one on those out and ups and those linebackers. He's coming out of the backfield and they know that he can fly. With a former track guy at Texas A&M, they know about his speed. It's no secret. But Ollie Gordon needs, you're right, Woody. Ollie Gordon needs to, the second, needs to get some carries in.
We're not looking at like a 60-40 split here, though, are we?
Probably not that much. Probably not that much, but again.
Does he go double-digit carries?
He could. He gets on a roll, right? Gets a couple good carries going there, and they get their running game going a little bit.
I'm just trying to warm you up for our fantasy football segment later.
So I got to tell you, man, yeah, if Ollie Gordon's feeling it and running with confidence and, you know, all of a sudden he dips his shoulder on a safety and picks up an extra five and those guys see that and you're going, oh, damn, we got a little physical. Then you go with them, right? Go with them a little bit. Again,
the problem becomes, and you know this better than me, but Achan, if you start taking him off the field, you start taking away his carries, how detrimental is that to the whole? Because he's, what, your third best offensive player?
Yeah, he is, but Achan cannot play at 190 pounds. I'm with everybody else. I don't want to use Achan every play, every game. He'll end up just like the guy in San Francisco. He's young.
Put him in the McCaffrey category.
He's been knocked out of games. I just look at there is a time to use him, but I don't want him taking a 25 carries and another 7 or 8 targets out of the backfield. How long does everybody think he would last if we were to do that? I
don't know. People love CMC though, man. He's still going way up there.
I see
all those drafts. He's a top 5 rated running back.
What's the chance he stays healthy?
Zero, I guess. I mean, one.
I'm curious to see how they're going to use him. To the point, he has done so much better than I thought coming out of Stanford. I thought he was going to be a pass receiving.
He was the best overall football player for a while there.
He was. He was doing things inside and out. You start having 1,000 yards. He went over 1,000 of both, right?
He was the first fantasy pick. He was a top dog. And he's still a top guy, even with all the crap.
Nothing against all the fantasy guys that have Achan. I'm glad you have him, and it's a good pick because he is going to break off some big plays. But I'm looking at the 17-game schedule of making sure, playing on that field, that you can stay healthy. And it's first time coming back, right? He's been injured. Soft tissue? No. He was soft. No, calf. Wasn't he part of the calf? Calf muscle or something. Or I'm not sure. Soft tissue, calf. Anyway, these guys have had a bunch of time off to come back and get ready to go. Hey, speaking of getting ready to go, we're going to get ready to go here. We got a lot more stuff to get to. Oh, my God, Woody, I can't believe it. Tomorrow night, Cowboys at Philadelphia. People are jacked up for that.
Could be a blowout or no?
Not good for Thursday.
You have to give me your exact prediction today. I'll give you your spread tomorrow on game day, but I don't think Dallas is as bad as people maybe think.
I don't know, but they just took
a rough offseason.
They took a big shot to the gut when they lost. You can say whatever you want, whether guys liked him, didn't like him, whatever the deal was with that guy.
Well, it's never good to get rid of your best player.
Never good. Yeah. Not at 26.
Weeks before the season starts.
Not 26 years old. But whatever
they
it is.
They got a haul for it, though. But
I do love, too. He's like, I never wanted to leave. This is where I wanted to be. His agents going on all the shows. We went back to him. Okay, can we want to be here? No, we're trading you. You're done. No more. You're history. We are toast. Well, I'll tell you what. We got some great games for the NFL season coming up, though. The old opener is full of great games. Starting Thursday night, Cowboys and Eagles are just going to do stupid numbers, but all the whole week, including Aaron Rodgers going back to play the Jets, and Justin Fields will be playing against his former team. I mean,
I saw a coach over there in New York was not thrilled about having to answer Aaron Rodgers' questions.
Get after him. It'd be the best thing you can do. Then you don't have to worry about questions.
Yeah.
Last thing you want is that guy to have a great game against you. Last thing you want is Aaron Rodgers in game one coming back to throw for 280 and three touchdowns. Not what you want.
How do you take that?
Well, at the end of the day, I feel like it's about the team, and I don't need a title to be able to lead. I'm going to continue to push the standard, you know, what Coach and these guys are pushing in the locker room, and I've always been a guy that led by example. So captain thing is great, but like I say, I'm gonna continue to do the small things, man, which is work hard, show up each and every day, and bust my tail for this team and try to win games.
All right, that's Tyreek Hill. We were all kind of all wondering after the six captains were chosen, and he wasn't one of them, and said all the right things, Bo.
You can say anything you want.
The only problem he can have, and I said this morning, he needs a football or he's going to.
Yeah,
get it anyway. Yeah. He's number one receiver.
You know what I was thinking about this? You know what Tyreek needs to be? Tyreek needs to be an attraction, not a distraction. What he's been is a distraction on this. And last year, look, you know, you give him the money last year. And look, I hope he plays well. I really do hope he plays well. But. You know, from day one, opening day, the guy becomes a distraction to the team. You know, I mean, it's opening day, you're in Hard Rock Stadium, stadium's full, everyone's just talking about Tyreek and what happened there. And then it goes along. And then every time you turn around, it's something. And then he walks out on the team. So, you know, to me, it's just, I need to see him. You know, it's easy to say what he just said.
Right.
Well, okay.
I'm
gonna take. I'll take it as you said it. Okay, I'm gonna trust you that you're gonna see that, but I'm not gonna trust until I see what you're talking about. I don't know.
To your point,
it's not just him. You know, I think there's a lot of guys on this team that need to really. You know what? They to me, and this is probably the wrong verbiage. They need to repay Mike and this football team for the commitment they've made to them, right? We're gonna let you run the team. You guys are gonna be the, you know, you guys are gonna police the team. You're gonna do this. Okay, If you're going to give that, if you're going to get that, if you're going to want that, then you got to play like, you know, you can't be the petulant kid in the playground that's always, you know, shouting at somebody and then doesn't do it, doesn't get anything done.
You know, Bo, it's so I said, all right, he said all the right things. It's great. The real test will be the four catch for 36 yards or four catch for 40 yards and maybe six targets where he is not the priority guy and it goes to the other side and everybody else gets the ball. Then we'll see how he handles everything.
Well, you know, everyone knows that. I mean, it's you know, like 2 years ago, everything was great, right? Everything was great.
Getting 12
you know,
a game.
Getting targets, making catches, you know, getting that 2,000 yard mark was there for about three quarters of the season.
It was.
Right?
It was looking pretty good.
And then he kind of got dinged up a little bit. I went in Frankfurt, I think that's where he kind of got dinged up early. Or maybe in Stuart. Anyway, look, I'd like to see that again. I think everyone would like to see that because if Tyreek plays the way he needs to play, Waddle's going to be much better too.
Yes.
It's
good for offense. We're going to score more points.
Yeah.
If he's really good, I think the 2,000 yards is a dream.
No,
I really
do. Yeah.
But hey, give me 1,400, 1,500 yards.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd love to see those guys 2,500 yards.
Between the two of them.
2,500 yards. Yeah, 2,500 yards.
Yeah, between the two of them.
I had to think about those numbers.
About 18 touchdowns, maybe 20 touchdowns between the two of them.
Damn, Bo.
Look, you know, what's it going to, you know.
Jeez, that's two Pro Bowl years.
Let me ask you this. How many touchdowns do you think it's going to take from your receiving core this year to get to the playoffs and win a playoff game? How many catches? How many touchdowns would you expect out of those guys? If that's where you want to be now,
whole group.
If you want to sneak into the wild card again, then that's a different story.
Oh, I think first of all, Tua playing 17 games. Yes, by the way, is all always without saying.
No,
Tua 17 games.
I think everybody knows that's the unspoken thing.
Yeah,
you know,
so we don't have to always.
Let's just assume he's going to play that. And we'll see how the cards play out.
So 17 games, Tua needs to throw two touchdowns a game. He needs to be in the mid 30s for touchdowns.
And you got to have a four touchdown game every now and then.
Yes,
right.
Hey, by the way, the other part is we had Kyle Crabbs on. It was interesting. He hit on the schedule more than most people. So Joe, this schedule, they're gonna be favoring a lot of these games where everybody thinks they're gonna be so bad.
Yeah.
And he looked and, you know, he's throwing them all out there. And
Look at the first four games. You know, I mean, you got, you know,
you believe the Jets and the Patriots at home, you got to win.
Look,
got to win those games.
You know, but what you do now that's probably going to be if you walk out of that thing, you know, 3-1, you go, okay, maybe we got a shot. You walk out of it 2-2, you go, oh, geez, you know.
No.
You go out of it one of it, you know.
You need to go 3-1.
You're darn right. You darn right.
Well, two of them are AFC East opponents at
home. Exactly. It's exactly.
You want to win those two games.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's got to get done.
By the way, they just need to get off to a good start, play well.
Look,
they need to chew up this Colts defense.
Yeah. But you know what I've seen over the last couple of weeks, you know, you get the now it's okay. Here's, you know, all the newspapers come looking at the New York papers. They're coming out with. And, you know, they got the Dolphins sitting at the bottom of the pile. And
everybody.
Everybody.
The power rankings.
Yeah.
Mike Florio, we have on tomorrow. What do you have? Is 29th, 30th in the league? Pete Prisco. You know, Pete.
Yeah.
Pete was not a fan of CBS.
And they piled on with Tua when they do the quarterback power rankings, too. He's been towards the middle or the bottom.
Well, you know what? He's been incomplete. Incomplete because of the injuries and this and that. I mean, but look, when he played a full 17 games, he was pretty good, you know.
He has been able to play well against the teams he should play well against.
Yeah. And
on the road later on in the year against the really good teams, he is.
Yeah.
Like the team struggled a little bit.
So that's, you know, those comments, wherever you rate Tua, whatever you talk about Tyreek, whatever you talk about the running game, whatever the talk about the secondary, you know, there, you know, you've got to shatter that that thought that this team is a team that could win early, but late in the season, you know, you're going to collapse. And so until you stop it, it's going to continue, you know, and then you can be the general manager, the coach, the players can be upset with everyone that's talking about it. Oh no, we're better than that. No, you're not. So who's the, you are what you are.
You
are what you are. Yeah. And they have been what they are. And that's the dialogue that you're going to get until you change it.
Last year, Thanksgiving, last game, we go to Green Bay and everybody was saying the same thing. And sure enough, we played cold. Yeah. We played like the cold weather. We didn't tackle well.
No, I mean,
bad. It was just everything. And you're going, that's a knock on us right there. The Green Bay game.
Yeah. May have been the worst tackling all year. Yeah. And look, I'm trying, you know, you're trying to say, no, it wasn't the cold. You know, I after the game, I said, look, it wasn't the cold. It was just bad tackling, you know, and certainly the cold, you know, it affects you, but you know, you got to, you know, and the talk going in, like, oh no, we're not, you know, ah, no, it's not that cold. We're not going to get wrapped up or bundled up. Well, they didn't. And then they didn't play very well. Right.
Wasn't good.
I don't know. It's just, I feel like I'm aggravated now.
Yeah, right.
And the team hasn't even played a game yet.
We don't want that.
Just because I'm so used to the expectations over the last quarter of a decade.
I know you've had what I've had here recently. The one guy I went to you got me. Thank you. I got signed up for colonoscopy.
Beautiful.
So I came out and a guy waiting for me and he wanted to talk about
it. Did you go get it?
No, not yet. I had to get through all stuff. Good. All the medicine I'm on.
Good.
You and I are on the blood thinner thing and all that stuff.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.